give you praise that our lives will never be the same. Father, thank you for the release of your Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in the church? Are you in the church? Are you in the church? I was told there are two people here tonight who have come to me with some powerful Holy Spirit. Let me see those two people. Where are they? More than two of you. If you believe you are the second person, I want you to put your hands together as you appreciate the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Please let's humbly be seated. The Holy Spirit is in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I'm very excited to let you know that our Father is also in the house. You're not excited enough. You're not excited enough. Hallelujah. You want to give someone a high five in the high heavens, the highest heavens, and say Chale Akwaba. Don't speak English. Say Chale Akwaba. Say, I am in the sound by. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a blessing to be here tonight. I can see some very wonderful new faces tonight. And I want to say welcome to KMC Charismata Chapel. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're here for the first time, this is KMC and this is Charismata. Say Charismata. Beautiful. Charismata means multiple manifestations of God's grace. Hallelujah. And tonight, the Lord has sent us a voice. Say a voice. John the Baptist spoke in John chapter 1 and said, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I believe that God has sent, every time God wants to do something, he sends a voice. Are you in the church? He sends a voice. And it is through these voices that he establishes his divine mandate on the earth. Hallelujah. And tonight, God is going to work a mighty work in your life. Amen. And I want you to get ready for that. I am very happy that Apostle is with us in the house tonight. Let's do it for him once more. That we are very excited. Thank you so much for coming all the way. Do you hear that? Say all the way. Thank you for coming all the way to us here. It's a very it's something that we don't consider very lightly. We think that you have really gone out of yourself to come all the way to us. And I want to say thank you and God bless you for coming. Amen. And I just want to say that we are very happy that you allowed God to speak to you and that you allowed yourself to obey the voice of God. This is our second year in Kumasi. And yeah, I'm happy that we are clapping. This is our second year here. I remember we started this church in this hall chapel. And then after some 2 months, how many of you were there? I don't know if you are. Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's just 3 of you because there, when we moved here after 2 months, we would have meetings and it would be 6 people. Say, hey. So how do we feel in a church of 3 people? 7 people. We've had a meeting of 5 people here before. I can show you pictures. Then when we close, then we hold our hands like that. Today, when we are closing and I say, hold somebody's hand, all of us cannot hold our hands. But those days, it's just 5 people. They hold our hands and say, I love you. I need you too. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. But we thank God that he's building his church. Hallelujah. And I'm very excited that our Father is here to honor our second anniversary. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I believe that it's an answer to his prayers. It tells us how faithful God is. Hallelujah. And so I wouldn't want to even say another word. Maybe the only word I'll say will be what I'll say to invite our Father to bless us and to touch our lives. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Paul saw faith in the eyes of a certain guy. And the guy received an impartation. Are you in the church? Last Sunday, we read from Acts 10. Is it verse 44? That whilst Paul was still speaking and sharing the word of God and talking about the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on, in Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit fell on all them who heard the word. Do you remember that message? So I want you to know that, yes, even as Peter, sorry, I was speaking of Peter, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. So tonight, don't just be someone who has come to see a nice church, or be a listener. Tell someone, be a listener. Yes, even faith comes by hearing. So don't just be present. Make yourself available for the Holy Spirit to touch you. You see, it is meetings like this that change our lives. I have been in a number of these meetings, and I tell you that each one of them changes your life to a certain degree. Hallelujah. So I want us to rise up to our feet. And, you know, I would want us to solemnly be excited. You know, be solemn, but be excited. Let me see whether you understand the English they've been teaching you there. Be solemn, but be excited. Hallelujah. And with Jesus' joy, I said with Jesus' joy, if Jesus appeared here, you wouldn't even be, this wouldn't be excited. You would shout, you would jump, you would jump. I don't see you jumping. I don't see you jumping. Where are the boys? I don't see you jumping. Tonight we are receiving the founder and the lead pastor of KMC, the Healthy Church. When he appears, he represents thousands all around the world. He has touched the life of many people. Okay? And you may not even know, but he has touched your life already by being here with you in this room. So I want us to put our hands together some more. And let's welcome the ministry of my father, Apostle. Oh, we are not excited. Apostle, David. Are you Jeffrey?
Church, let's put us together for Jesus. Charlie, it's good to be back home. And it's good to see you again. Honestly. You guys make me miss you when I go on some of your status. Selassie, your status. When I see what God is doing with you guys, it's amazing. There's something called the mystery of the seed. It's amazing how a mighty tree can be birthed out of a little seed. It's amazing. It's amazing. I see that there's growth, and I see that the life substance of the church is increasing, and I see that you are becoming better people, glorious people. Hallelujah. One of the finest meetings Jesus wants to give us is this particular meeting. And Jesus, you call it a special meeting. The Lord is also going to give you a special treat. If your amen would, if your amen can be better, your treat will be better. Hallelujah. Devil always doesn't love it when I'm supposed to be here, but I love to be here. I always say, your pastor, in fact the church back home, they know that my blue eye baby is lives matter. Oh yes. And I always tell them, I say, people, you are not careful. One day.
You are waiting.
My wife asked me, so as you are going, when are you coming? Because she came to ask you to go. Because I told her that until the Spirit released me. Hallelujah. I'm very excited. One reason why I'm so excited is because of how the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, hooked me in the office yesterday because of this meeting. It means that the Lord has a plan for you. The Lord has a plan for you, and I'm so excited. So we had a lot of challenges on the way getting here. In the first instance, the car that must be here decided not to come here. Anytime he hears that I'm coming to Kumasi, he pretends to be sick. I say he, because it's a more he than this one. Hallelujah. So we decided to actually pamper this one and get us here. I think it also realized that the Yemubuafo, it's like we don't really see him. I mean, hey, whenever we are in hot water, then we look for her. So I'm seeing her. So we pampered her. She would say, I'll punish you. So we went through the discipline. We are here. And I want to congratulate you for staying around for the past 2 years. To have somebody around for 2 years means that person is a great person. Shout and say, I'm a great person. Many people don't have the ability to stay around. And when you see people who don't have the ability to stay around, don't build around them. People who don't know how to stay around, we build nothing around them. We build nothing around them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But when somebody goes and he sees that, oh, I have to be back and I'm here, you can trust that the person has really found out that no, something must be holding on to me, that I must come back. So he came back to Peter and told Peter, loveth me more than this, loveth me more than this. And then he committed many things to his hands. It's a great pain to turn your back and see the people who said, I'll be with you, that they are not with you. Great pain. Great pain. So, you know, God does not, the first credibility that God honors, okay, it's not anointing. Like the things we've been looking for, it's not anointing. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The first thing. When God gives you anything, if he will let it grow, the Bible says that I, Paul, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God will give the increase. If God will give increase to anything, he must find you faithful with whatever he gave you. He must find you faithful. I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. He must find you faithful. If you're not faithful, KMC, the whole KMC Global started with, I always say, 1.5 persons. A little girl and her little sister. I was so brought in. God said, teach them. I kept teaching. So faithful. Sincerely, I was teaching, I was crying inside. Like, God, with all me, what I've helped meetings, people were all overflow here and there. And now you are starting. So I was like, Charlie, it's going to work. If the head I was coming in this church and the whole place was filled and the move of God was mighty, if I'm about to start my own, you know that this is Pastor David coming to start, Charlie, the thing is going to work. God told me, for the next 6 months, don't preach in any church. So for 6 months, I stayed, no preaching, no nothing. I was just inside praying. After 6 months, I said, start. And then 1.5 persons, I was so sad. I was too sad. Meanwhile, I didn't travel on top. Like, can you just imagine you're going to preach at your first meeting at the ministry God said go and start? I mean, you can imagine the kind of prayer you're going to pray. Like, you're expecting some wild signs and wonders, prophecy, some wild things, and you wear your best. It's like, Can you just imagine me in my suit behind the pulpit waiting that Charlie they will come? And I was not married though. When I was going to, I carried my fiance along. Charlie, let go. Come and see how your guys are anointed. Hey! So she asked me, Charlie, what's up? I said, they will come. By faith, they will come. They will come. They will come. Then this lady came with a little baby. So welcome. Give her a seat. They will come. The first seats we arranged were just about 6 people. And it's only one person and a baby girl that sat on it. Plus my fiancé. I think we should have called the Wukam ministry. Because when we finish, then I realized that my fiancé has the ministry of encouragement. She started encouraging me. But you see, by having revelation in the mystery of a seed, I never gave up. Hallelujah. I never gave up. I never gave up. This year we've told God that we want to run three services. We've told God that we want to see a wild growth. Wild growth. And he has started working on it. Yes. He started working on it. Be in church and people are like, you just come to church and who invited you? Nobody. Nobody. I just felt like I have to be here and I'm here. You'll be there, somebody will send you a message. You see, last year you invited me. Tomorrow I want to come to church. Like, some strange things are happening. And we know where they are coming from. Hallelujah. And it shall be your story. Hallelujah. One thing I know that God is going to do in this meeting is that God is going to cause a paradigm shift in your life. Now, in the realm of the spirit, I'm glad to see you, sweetheart. It's good to see you. In the realm of the spirit, the Lord is going to hold some of you, your hands like this, and walk you to another realm. Just hold you and bring you and tell you now, continue from here. Some of you, you're supposed to finish up a certain level. Okay? You're supposed to finish up, exploring that level. Because in the realm of the spirit, there are levels and there are dimensions. And every level has dimensions. Every level has dimensions. But strangely, the lowest level in the spirit, its highest level dimension is the lowest level of the next level. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, you should understand it. If you understand it, go understand. You will understand. Amen. So God is going to hold some of your hands like this and move you. This meeting is not an ordinary meeting. After this meeting, you'll realize that your next prayer is, God, give me wisdom to be able to walk in this level. And the reason why we fail is because we don't have wisdom. I know, Lord, I see my strong. Heal my heart and show you so strong. And that is why we fall. That is why we miss it. One of the blessings that is happening to you right now that you have no idea, okay, is the blessings of your age. The blessings of your age. Because just as we take a footballer and we place him on a play field, okay, it is the same way. Your age is like a field for you. You have been placed in to play. Place into play. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You need to understand this thing. It will change everything about you. And this thing instructs me in my driving, in the buying of my phones, in buying of cars, whatever. It's this, and this understanding will instructs me. One reason why, if you see somebody saw me today, said, oh, your phone is very expensive. You have a lot of money. I was looking at him, I said, you are not serious. The phone is what it is because I don't want anything to waste my time. I don't want to collect something and the thing will be going like wing. Because to have a fast phone, okay, and you know where you are going, that somebody, I'm sending a message, I click message, and that is another this thing. Just put those minutes, you'll be very surprised. You'll be very, very, very surprised. Teach me how to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Teach me. Hallelujah. So, some of the, I may not have the all the time I need to talk about the Holy Spirit. He has a way of using the word of God to meet your very need. There's something special about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is ministering, he serves us as manna. The manna can be a diabetic drug, okay, for somebody who is suffering from diabetes. The same manna. But when you take it, it will be a malaria drug, or it will be whatever for you. That's what the Bible said, that when they ate it, it met their unique needs. So I mean, stand here and just share, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. You'll be very surprised that everybody will understand it separately. Somebody will even understand, start crying, and you'll be like, ah, this word I've been quoting, why are you crying? One day I was preaching and preachers at a crusade. When I finished, some pastors came to me. Ah, is it not John 3:16? I said, yes. How are you able to teach with that like that? And people were saved. And we saw a lot of healing. I said, it is John 3:16. It is still in the Bible. It is still in the Bible. Hallelujah. And I didn't even use everything. I was just using, and whosoever believes in him. That was the message. And whosoever. So I pray that you will have a special ministration that will transfigure your life, transform your life, translate your life, because the Lord is about to move you. Not because you have qualified or you have really explored the level you find yourself, but because you have been faithful. Sometimes, listen to me very careful. All the time, this is how God deals with us. We may not be perfect. We may not be able to fulfill all that he told us to do. But if he can find you faithful, he has a way of saying that, Charlie, by your heart, you have done the thing. Come, let me give you promotion. Now sit here. That's the same thing he did to me. If he can find you faithful, he said, when he returned, will he find faith? It's also saying faithfulness. Will he find faith? Because faith in God means that you will stay faithful. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter whether you traded with the 5 talents or you traded with 2 talents or whatever you made. He will tell you, enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And this is why everything that you are doing, especially anything that you are doing that it's a kingdom thing, okay, you must go hard for the Lord. You must be faithful. You must be faithful. Look at somebody and say, do hard for the Lord. Faithful. Faith. You must be faithful. You must be faithful. And now I don't even know whether I can play this thing any longer. But how did I get in? Nobody was teaching me. I just sit behind and start playing because there was the need in the church. Are you getting it? Don't be tired, though. I'm going to stand to teach you. So you stand and feel how it is. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take much time today, but I'm just going to open up something to you, and then we continue tomorrow. And I know your life will be blessed. Some of you will cry and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because you know that. Say, yeah, won't say. Make you one, Charlie. Obe mau 20.3 over 100. They say, well, failing. Where Diego? Where Diego? You understand what I'm trying to say? But when God says he's marking you, is because you were faithful. Not that you faithfully got it right, but you faithfully stay at it. Though you got it wrong, you faithfully stay at it. And that is the work of mercy. That's the work of mercy. And when mercy begins its work, grace comes through and grace gives you another chance. That's why many of us, we are not dead. That's why we are not dead. That's why we are not dead. That's why we still could find ourselves feeling anointed by the grace of God. Lift your right hand to heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
For Jesus. And let's take our seats. What do we tell Beard? See, God will bless you. My God, God will bless you. God will bless you. He's a great man of God. Yes. He's a great man of God. And you see, you are going to see his greatness more and more progressively. And God is going to bless you, man of God, for loving the sheep of God, caring for them, even putting together this program and making sure I'm here. It's not an easy thing. Hallelujah. Thank you for being our pastor, and thank you for staying around. Thank you for being faithful, caring for us, visiting us, and praying for us. I think, was it 3 days ago we spoke? And he said he was praying. It's like, wow. A businessman who God has called. And he has left his business. And now he's praying for you, praying for the meeting. The Lord will honor you.
Amen.
The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of love of his people. The Lord will honor you. Yes. I was told that Pierre was telling you that even when my hands get broken, I still preach with it. And then he called me to tell me, and I was like, the day he told you that day, my hand got broken again. I said, so you went to say this? That's what has happened to me. Okay, then I'll come and preach with it. So I thank God I'm here.
to preach with a broken hand by the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's a joy for us to do this. Many years ago, I was going to preach at TAFO. I was invited by a group of students. I was not a pastor. I was just a hungry boy who decided to preach in every secondary school in the Eastern region. And I was going to preach at OPAS. Is anybody from OPAS here? Nobody. The next time I come, an OPAS student to be here. Or for a penny. And once I was going, I was in a commercial vehicle. Everything will change very soon, so don't worry. And I was sick. I was very sick. I may not be a good preacher for you, but please don't look at how you know good preachers. I beg. This me. Yeah. I was sick and I was hot. And the woman was sitting by me and said, Abrante, Ade. And I was there. And I told God something. I said, God, if this is what I will do and die, and it shall be said of me that he went to preach and he collapsed behind the pulpit and died, so be it. Let me have this testimony. And I went, over 2,000 people were gathered. And I was sick. And I preached two places before I was invited to the main meeting on the same campus. The first meeting was with the intercessors, prayer warriors for the campus. And the move of God was mighty. And I was still shivering. I went to the main meeting. At a point, I almost fell down, so I held the pulpit like this. And I was praying for the sick. Menstrual pains. So. Hey. And I was sick. And I asked one of the students, when I touch you, what do you feel? I said, I feel that your arms are hot. There's fire. I said, this is fever. This is not fire. This is fever. I said, you don't know. When I prayed for the last person in the healing line, I couldn't feel the sickness in my body again. It was a shock. From that day, I told myself, I will always preach no matter what. Yeah. So I'm preaching. So the broken hand is holding the microphone. Hallelujah. I'll preach. I'll teach. And I'll pray for you. Yeah. So in your anniversary, I've been asking the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, he started dealing with me. I thought I had a message already. Until yesterday, the Holy Spirit told me. He said, go and tell them about the Holy Spirit and the believer's prayer. The Holy Spirit and the believer's prayer. What the Holy Spirit does with our prayer. Selassie. So, where is Selassie? She's not around. I thought she was the one. Selassie senior or junior? Junior. Oh. I hope tomorrow she'll be here. Thank God. All right. The Holy Spirit and the believer's prayer. Now, our time is already spent. And I'm not going to take much time, but I'm just going to drop something into your spirit that will keep you thinking and get you ready for tomorrow. I was telling Reverend, I said, Rev, I was in the office late night yesterday. And then, somehow I realized she was there. He was there. Said, you didn't know. I'm here. So I decided to share a little of whatever the Lord was sharing with me. I said, I'm getting jealous and hurt about what the Holy Spirit is doing. So I said, I want him to be send the message to me than to send me with the message. Because I need. So I told the Lord, I said, let me come to a place where I will feel like this message is 60% for me. And I'm coming to share out of my wells. Because I don't like reading the Bible because I'm going to teach people. I don't like it. And this message I'm going to teach you. Look, the moment you get into your spirit, your life will change forever. Everything about you will change. The Lord told us something. He said, if you can pray for 500 hours, I'll do something. So I got some group of people. I said, I don't want plenty of people. I don't want people who give me excuses. I don't want people who come today and they don't. We want to enter into a covenant prayer. And then we started. We've not finished. So tomorrow I'll continue. No matter whether I'm traveling or whatever, we'll still be doing it. The target is 500 hours of prayer. The least we do a day is four hours a day. And it is because of the revelation that I found. And I want to drop this into your spirit. And your life must change. There is nothing that cannot answer to prayer. There's nothing that cannot answer to prayer. Let me tell you a lot of testimonies. Some of them you may have heard it before. One day we're praying with a group of people in Ikoforidua, New Drumming Park. When I got to Ikoforidua, I went to the polytechnic before going to university. When I got there, the Holy Spirit told me. When I got there, I cried. I wept because I was like, no, I don't want to be here. Somebody bought my forms, filled everything, sent it. And I was there, admission came. Everybody was going to school and I was not going. So I decided to, okay, let me go here first. So that when the second one comes. The second one never came home. When I got there, I was crying. Like, why am I here? Because when I was in Achimota school, I remember all the things we discussed in the dormitory. We never discussed that. Charlie, when I finished, I'm going to polytechnic. Like, if you say you're going to UCC or tech, it sounds some way. That one cry sounds some way. How much more? I didn't even know what polytechnic was until I found myself at polytechnic. What is this? Oh, he's crying. You'll be shocked that I never allowed any mate of mine to know that I was in the polytechnic. And one day, I was going for lectures and I saw two of my mates from Motor. I said, hey, Ejansu, waha. That was how the shyness started going away. I mean, that was pride. Actually, it's not anything, it's pride. But when I got there, the Lord gave me a task. So I guided people to pray with. Actually, I didn't really decide to go. I started praying. Wherever I go, the first thing I look for is a place to pray. I'm preaching, you know. The Bible says that you shall be witness. There are two witnesses that we are called to be. That you are the witness giving the witness. Jesus must use you. Get up. I saved this one. I died to save him. What shows you are a savior? Look at his life. So you are a witness. And then you must be the one that tells the story that Jesus truly, so that you are going to be a witness giver. These are the two callings of every believer. Sit down. So as I'm preaching, I'm telling you, a testimony is a kind of ministration. So I started praying on an Appian Way, and then on the park alone in the night. It was my way of prayer. 11 o'clock in the night through to the next day, 4 a.m. I kept praying. And I didn't have any revelation about prayer. I didn't have any revelation. I only loved to pray. And then one day, a sister met me and told me that she wants to join me. I said, come. So we started. So it was a brother and a sister. And before I realized, she came one day. The following day, this was my secret prayer life. And I invited you. The following day, she went around, went to bring another people. I was like, ah, this girl, who is she? And then, guess who she went to bring home? She brought my wife. Imagine. I wasn't happy. You don't know who you meet there. Don't choose any life partner if the person is at prayer meetings. Obi Emerson, how? Which pastor is this one? Yes. So she brought, and I didn't like the idea. The reason I didn't like the idea is because I had already told some people in my hostel that this girl, the first time I saw the lady, she was so beautiful. Like, I was like, the woman saw her and said, this girl's there for Mami Watao. This is there for Mami Watao. I told them, I said, and I started teaching them about water spirit, like teaching them, hey, I want to know my refi. Started teaching. The last time I was telling my wife, you know what she told me? I said, my water. If I'm my mother now, my water, you see where you are now. Hallelujah. So I didn't like this mommy water daughter coming for a prayer meeting. But somebody said, when we started prayer, I realized she was so joshuous. It's like, wow. And this prayer meeting became big. People were coming from town. It wasn't intentional. People were coming from town. Before I realized, pastors were coming. And some people called me, Charlie, start a church. I said, me? No. I don't like it. And I don't want to like it. God has not called me. I've not heard him telling me, start a church. I said, no, this is the thing, it's working. I didn't. No, I didn't try. I didn't want to try that at all. In fact, I didn't like church. I didn't want to be a pastor. Like be a pastor. And, no. Ramadan thing, and they were waiting for a sign with the moon before their fast. Then the Holy Ghost told me, he said, stop that thing. I'm talking about 2000. The Holy Ghost said, stop that thing. Command it. He said, Joshua did it. It worked. So if you remember 2000, Muslims in Ghana, they never saw the moon, but they forced to break their fast. Go and check it. Never saw it. The move never. Somebody locked it in Koforidia. Yeah, lock it is a funny shape. Someone said, "Moya fast." Then the Lord. That was when the Lord started teaching me about cosmic powers, spells, and how certain individuals can engage the elements of the skies. As stars, the moon, the sun, and use them against you. Why do you think David says that the sun will not strike me by day, nor the moon by night? Why do you think David said that I'll not be afraid of the arrows that flies by day? Why do you think Paul said that pressing not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities? Then he said what? Spiritual wickedness in where? High places. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. There'll be a lot of spiritual manifestations right here. And I want you to be very, really ready, because the next thing the Holy Spirit is going to do is that he's going to recruit people, okay, and burden them. I sense the anointing here, sincerely. So when the Holy Spirit started teaching me that thing, we started implementing it. Started praying. So the first thing is that we held the moon appearing full, and they tried it, they postponed it, they said tomorrow, whatever says that the thing, they will announce that the next night they are going to see it will never come. The Lord said, hold it. He said, they speak to, the Lord started speaking. He said, they speak to it, they cast spell, they speak to the moon, and you'll be very surprised. So I started teaching the people from scripture, and that's not what I'm going to teach here today. I'm going to teach you to know, understand why Daniel has to pray. And the Prince of Persia, who is this Prince of Persia? Who is this Prince of Persia? And why certain demonic forces would never want this commission in Kumasi to work, but it work. We shout amen. Say work. Hallelujah. Your life will work. If you asin ye name no enda kwa o ebi asin enda kwa. I'm telling you. So we entered into a persistent, consistent prayer. We were supposed to be praying Mondays and pray Wednesdays, two times in a week. But that week, the Lord burdened us to do it. We're students, so sometimes we'll start 11 and close like 6 and have to rush back 6:30 to lecture. There'll be a special lecture after, and I'll go sitting there tired. But nobody knew where I went, what I have done. Obviously, classmates will be playing around you and mocking you and misbehaving. But we were all students, but some of us were on assignment. We were not ordinary. Many of you are here. You were just called to be here to represent him, to pick up you. Some of you just were called to pass here to pick up something. You are not a student. In fact, in the realm of the spirit, you have graduated. The course itself, you have graduated. The truth is what I'm telling you. But Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is teaching you something here, but you have not taken notice of it. So one Friday, as we were praying, we sensed the power of God so strong, and we realized that the burden to pray was increasing. So we closed our eyes and we're praying, crying out to God, praying in the spirit. Almost everybody, I couldn't stop to give a prayer topic. I couldn't stop anybody. Then we started arresting powers in the area. All of a sudden, we felt a heavy weight had come to fall in our midst. Boom! When I opened my eyes, it was a human being. We were in a circle. The person didn't build the circle. The circle was intact. Where? How did he? I asked him, I said, how did you get here? He said, the power of your prayer carried me from the bush. What were you doing there? He said, I'm a security man. I said, a security man for what? In the bush for what? Brought him. It says that he's a master in the spirit, and that he commands three major powers. From a certain place in the country, I'll mention. I said, what are the powers? He said, that he can never and he will never mention their name, because the spirit, the demonic powers, have killed all his family and it's left with only him alive. Nobody is alive. It was his senior brother and him who were alive. The senior brother was the one serving the deities but refused to do it, and they killed him. So it was left with him. So he doesn't have a choice but to save. And he wants to let me know that the power he commands, if he calls the name now here, I will die. I said, the one to die has already died. A dead man cannot die again. A dead man. Because the Bible said, when he died, we died with him. So what are you talking about? And when we resurrected, I said, have you seen resurrection power dying again? Saying you lie. So we started battling. Now the long and short of the story is, at the end of the day, he called the names of the deities, and then he was shocked. He himself was not dead, because he said he had never mentioned it anywhere. Never. We led him to Christ. Hey, we prayed for him, casted out those powers. As I'm talking to you right now, he's an elder in the Pentecost Church. When after doing that, he got a job on campus as a security man, got married, and now he's an elder. That's what Jesus can do. Beloved, we have really underestimated underestimated the power of prayer. And because of that, many things that must happen are not happening. And many things that must not happen are happening. And we are there. Can you just take this picture? And this is what is going to happen over the period. Can you just imagine the children of Israel going into captivity and was told them a date they are supposed to come out? The date came, and almost 70 years they were still in captivity. It means that what should be by prophecy was still not becoming. But so the Bible said that one man called Daniel, he said, "I, Daniel, I understood by the books that the period for the restoration of the children of Israel, what's up? And why are they still here?" Daniel had so much understanding that he realized that everything by prayer. Tell somebody, everything by prayer. Now, if you don't get anything in this meeting, this is what you must go home with. Everything by prayer. Do it until people say, tell the person, everything by prayer. Because nothing just happens. So Daniel started praying. The prayer he intentionally set to do was in 3 days. Daniel decided to do a 3-day fasting and prayer just for the restoration of the children of Israel. And when he started, the Bible said that the answer was released, but the prince of Persia. Now, we're going to engage in this story so much. We are going to look at many sides throughout the period. Who is the prince of Persia? And why does he have so much authority to stop an angel of God? Have you thought about that? An angel of God. And some of you may think that as long as an angel is with me, I can do anything. The strength of an angel is not in the angel. The strength of an angel is in the saint. The strength. One day, I was praying in Cape Coast. One night. No, it was an afternoon. Then all of a sudden, an angel entered my room. Say, "Hey, you are here." There were plenty. My room is a small place, so. But all of a sudden, I couldn't see the walls. I could only see, like, angels. I can't see their face, but I can see one of them, his face. Like, I can see that. But you could sense that. I don't know whether you have seen a magazine with a crowd of people, but you can't see their face, but you can see the image showing that there are plenty of people. That was what I was saying. So I asked the angel, "What's your name?" They said, I'm Kenjo. That's what the angel told me. "I'm Kenjo." I said, "Kenjo, what's your meaning?" He said, "I'm the angel of wisdom." So my second born is called Kenjo. Somebody asked, "Where did you get the name from?" "You have searched it and searched it, you can't find it. Unless you Google heaven." Yeah. Then all of a sudden, God gave me word of knowledge. Now, when I'm talking about word of knowledge, I'm going to speak a lot about deep things, spiritual things in this meeting, because I take this meeting a very special meeting. God gave me word of knowledge about the angels. Knowledge is a foreknowledge. Okay, many of you go into a meeting and somebody, a prophet, calls you and tells, "I see your name, this, that. These are not prophecies, they are word of knowledge. People operate word of knowledge, say, "It's a prophet. The prophet prophesied to me." No, it's not prophecy, it's called word of knowledge. So the Lord gave me word of knowledge about the angel. Then I told the angel, I'll promote you. Then he smiled. Then I asked him, I told him I'll promote him. Then I asked him, "How do I do it?" Then he said, "Give me work to do." I said, "How?" He said, "Work for God more, pray more, fast more, do things." He said, anytime you are praying and asking things, he said that the Lord sends us on assignment. And for your information, that's how we get strong. Then I remembered what Jesus said. My bread is to do the will of him that sent me. So serving God is a type of bread in the spirit that we have no idea. So when the angel said that, then said that the more busy you get for the Lord, okay, like as I'm praying, Lord save Kumasi, Lord save people in my class, my family, Lord, is it, as you are getting overwhelmed by many things that you are praying about, he says that the Lord adds more angel to me, because I'm supposed to make sure what you are praying about comes to pass. So there must be more angels under me. He said the more I get many battalions under me, I become more senior. Some of you, you are only working with one angel. Because you don't pray for anyone. Don't pray. You should be praying by now. You see, you have never even prayed for the president of Ghana before. And you see, what you don't know is that you don't know the ministration of angels. Okay, you don't know the ministration of angels. Let me give you something beautiful. Every prayerful person always works in the company of angels, multitudes, especially if you intercede. Especially every intercessor. I'm not talking about the intercessors that have become flowers that decorate our churches and our services. Now you go and see them. This one, the people see that their fiancés see that they pray. Then you see. Then you see, Charlie, the brother is prayerful. I'm not talking about that one. Charlie, we are talking about the people who carry the heart of God. People that carry the heart of God that will say, until I see this brother safe. Many a times, they even pray and people don't see them. We go for lectures, we are looking for them, we can't find them. You come to Achimota Forest and we are there. One day I was praying, four angels appeared to me. They came to me and they called me. I didn't go. They called me. They waited for like 1 hour and I was still praying and I was looking at them. You don't know how patient they are with you. When you come on fire, your angels get excited. Everybody here has an angel. Everybody here has an angel. But some of you, the truth is that you are going through many, 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 many things that you don't understand. You are a Christian, blah, 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 blah. You don't understand. The reason why you are going through those things is because your angel has been captured by another demonic angel. Is it possible? Yes, it is. It happens. I know you may or not have heard this before, but you have been reading it. An angel was sent to Daniel and he was captured. He was captured. How possible? It happened. I will shape you. Oh, I will shape you. Lord, I worship you. Oh, I worship you. For your name is holy. Your angel can be captured. And that's what you don't do. And when that happens, one of the signs that shows that your angel is captured is when you see disappointments around you. That you know that tomorrow I'm supposed to receive this. But before you realize, Daniel in 3 days expected an answer. It never came. For the next 20 days, he never saw it. Why? An angel that was carrying his answer was captured. The strength of every angel is connected to the strength of the saints he has been said to save. When a lot of work is given that angel to do, you give the opportunity to the angel to have a lot of recruits, more recruits. And that is where that angel's rank begins to go up. Begins to go up. So every praying believer has huge battalions of angels around them. And that's why they enter a place, they can enter into a service and everything changes. Haven't you seen that some men of God minister? I mean, some Christians, let me use that one. Some Christians minister with ease, simplicity. I mean, there's no struggle, there's no shout. You have to, no. Simple. Was weight of angels that are with that person, you have no idea. How many are your angels? That's the question I'm asking you now. You see, some of you, your prayers are so, give me, forgive me, give me, forgive me. Such people, they don't have much angels around them. The truth is that your angel, listen, your angel, your angels can always be with you as long as your purity towards the Lord is intact. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, and who has not lifted his soul unto vanity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you have to see God around you and work around you, it calls for purity of heart. Very important. But that is not where I'm going tonight. That's not where I'm going tonight. Demons work by plan and by intention. The Holy Spirit sent me to come and tell you these things, so that you will understand that when you wake up at night and you are praying, they call Rada Kabara Shafani, Lima Sukra Kabaya Dando Kabalo, Rebadia Do Velende Kebele Do Shataya Kaba, Ora Baba Baba Shoka Panika Telenus, Shaker. Listen, even this tongue that I'm speaking, if the Holy Ghost is opening your eyes to see demons and like what is happening, like what the vibration it's causing in the realm of the spirit, you will never stop praying. You will never stop praying. Yeah. But because we don't know. Because we don't know. But may you receive light. I say, may you receive light. So apart from prayer warriors, intercessors, let me put it that way. Apart from intercessors, missionaries, people that preach the gospel, people that preach the gospel, they command a lot of angels around them. People that preach the gospel, they command a lot of angels around them. People that want to go to the interland, people that tell, Pastor, leave me. Pastor, I want to do evangelism this weekend. Pastor, among my I used to draw my timetable, no, my timetable. There is always preaching appointment, missions, evangelism, part of it. When I write mathematics, elements of math, the next 2 hours, some evangelism is somewhere. Prayer, it part of. I plan everything, part of it. I plan everything. It's part of it. I'm a full-time Christian and part-time anything other thing. The gospel, you cannot kill a missionary until God permits you to. The truth is that the death of a missionary always has a major wound and impact on Satan and his team. If you know what it takes to bring one missionary or one believer, strong believer, down, it takes huge demons. A lot of demons have to be recruited. God, hey, Jai Kofiachi, Jai Bramunda, concentrate before one believer will fall and die. That time, many people get saved. That was the difference. That's what happened on the cross when Jesus was dying. When the demons were concentrating on him, the thief was getting born again. No, I'm teaching something very spiritual. You have no idea. But these are realities. Messages like this, I normally don't teach them like most of the times come meetings and more spiritual, highly spiritual. But I know this is the Holy Spirit has touched this place. And you must have command in the spirit realm, not by noise, but by news. You must have command. You must. Okay. Pastor, when I'm closing, when I'm supposed to close, I'm not going to take the time today. Tomorrow, I'm going to do a lot of. As I'm ministering, I'm seeing flames on some of you. I don't want to start ministry so that it will distort the meeting. I want you to get something into your spirit first. But if the Holy Spirit gives us a chance to go, we'll just go ahead and do. How many of you sense that the Lord is here? The Holy Spirit is excited about the things I'm teaching you and telling you. Look at how you are desiring. So, Pastor, tell us how to pray, how to deal with these things. That's what is in your spirit now. Draw for us. You must have command. One afternoon, I went to my grandmother's house and she told me, said, these children are mishandling me. So I called her, hey, my grandmother said that. The little girl, I said, hey, you know what you told me? You've been looking for me to finish. I said, me, I'm looking for you to finish you today. So today you and I, we have met. If you couldn't finish me, I'll finish you today. I said, listen to me. I'm not going to leave you and say, I'm going to pray. And then fight you in the spirit. I'm going to beat you physically and trust God that it will reflect spiritually. Achievement. Be for power. By the time I left my grandmother's house to my house, my leg was like this. So what? A witch? God, you watch a witch to do this to me. Like, am I not powerful? Like, God. I was shocked. At that time, there was this ringing tone. Now, in the name of Jesus, by Archbishop Duncan Williams. It was circulating. So I had one on my phone. God said that, place on your leg and put it at repeat. One day when I meet Archbishop, I'll tell him about that. So I put it at repeat. I couldn't work on my leg. Then it was playing and playing and playing, playing. I slept off. The thing was still on my leg. It was playing, playing. When I woke up, my leg, the swollen leg, had come back to normal. The pain was gone. Me who say prayer cry record one power womb connect prayer we call it prayer. So it is the power of the prayer, it's not the recording, no. It is who prayed the prayer. It is who prayed the prayer. The thing is that if I come to tell you that a president man I say that we should leave this class, then where is he? He did, but he sent us a letter. If you read the letter, you say you won't go. Be there. Who wrote the letter? Who signed it? The question is that, what is the weight of your prayer? What is the weight of your prayer? So then I read from Romans chapter 8, the verse number 26 and 27. Push it on the screen. Let's look at something. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Can you just use the King James? Let me use some words there. King James, please. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. The word also means that he doesn't do the whole thing alone. He helps our what? Infirmities. Then he brought a column there. He said, for we know. So what is the infirmity he's talking about? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself They couldn't, if you look, if the Bible says, you realize that this one is in italics, it means that they couldn't know the right personal pronoun to put there, because the translation from the original, you couldn't use a he for it, a she for it. So they said itself. Itself. But I want to use himself with a capital him. Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be altered. Very important scripture. Yesterday night the Holy Ghost dealt with me with this one, and it has shifted my prayer life. What is the weight? What is the power of your prayer? How does your prayer get that powerful? The Bible says that there's an angel in heaven that collects the prayers of the saints and puts it in the word and fast and places an incense on it and smoked it, and God smells it in heaven, and then he pours it back to the earth. And these are the results. He said earthquake, thunder, lightning, and many other things happens when the prayer of the saint is. But does the prayer get up there? Does our prayer get the recognition it's supposed to receive? Two things you must understand in the realm of the spirit. It is either the devil does not allow your prayer to ascend. Listen to me very carefully. It is either the devil does not allow your prayer to ascend, or if it ascends, he makes sure you don't have the faith to receive the answer. That is something you must understand. So the Bible talks about the fact that when the eyes of Jacob was opened, the Bible said that he saw a ladder from the earth to the heavens. He didn't say from heaven to the earth. From the earth, if nothing goes up, nothing comes down. Don't forget, this earth has been given to the sons of men by God. If God wants to do anything here, it's because men willed it. Until you wait for your prosperity and your breakthrough, God will never intervene. So John Wesley says it this way. He said, it's as though God can do nothing if men don't pray. It's like God cannot do anything if men don't pray. Do you know that even this earth, the proof of life for this earth was never seen? Why? Because the Bible says there was no man to till the land. Because there was no man to till the land, there was no grain. Check, it's there. The book of Genesis is there. And this is the discussion that happens between the angels. And they ask, who is man that you are so mindful of? Who is man that you are so mindful of? You have no idea. We are talking about the entity that carries deity. The entity, the only entity that God created, that carries the creator. He can carry. He said that you have eternity in your heart, but you have no idea about it. Who is man? Do you know who you are? Beloved, if just a man, is it not the same person Satan is interested in and God is interested? Is it not the same person the Son of Man had to come and die for? Who is this entity? Who is this entity? That all that Satan is doing is not to bring down or destroy, but all that Satan is doing is after this same entity. Didn't you hear what God said? Said the eyes of the Lord is moving to and fro, looking for a man. Who is this one that God, you must leave heaven and come down here and come and search for him? Who is this one? This tiny spark of dust. And you needed a place to dwell. You couldn't find any place in heaven. Look at the Gangantua angels. You couldn't find anyone who could carry you. And he said, I will dwell in man. I will find my place in man. Who is this person that could carry the creator? Who is this one that carries eternity in his womb? Who is this man? Who is this one? Does he matter? Why have you said that if we bind on earth, know that it is bound in heaven? What he's saying is that by the time you finish enacting it here, we are so prepared that we have finished it already. This is how powerful this entity is. And until this entity man permits deity on earth here, divinity on earth here, he doesn't have power. No demon is powerful without the approval of a man. And I'm telling you, no spirit power has power enough to influence anything on this earth until men have permitted it. Until men have permitted it. I'm telling you the truth. electricity power remains idle until there is an appliance that makes you know there is power. Who is man that you are so mindful of? Who is this person? Who is this person? To the extent that the Holy Spirit, when we open our mouth and begin to pray, he comes to the scene and begins to do intercession. Number one, for us. Number two, for our prayer. The Holy Ghost takes you up. You say you are interceding for this one. The Holy Ghost comes and then he intercedes for you. First, number two, he intercedes for the prayer that you are praying for this one. He sanctifies and fine-tunes the prayer for this one. That's what he does. And the Bible says that he does it with groanings which cannot be expressed. This word groanings which cannot be expressed appears only twice in the whole Bible. Twice. Number one was when Peter was telling us about when the children of Israel were in captivity in the book of Exodus, chapter number 1-3. The Bible said that there arose another king, Pharaoh, that knew not who. How come with all that Joseph did, even Kwame Nkrumah, for all these years, you have not forgotten him? Who are you that you came in the sea and could not read history to know that there's a man called Joseph who helped Egypt, and these are the descendants? Say, he knew them not. Who was that entity? We'll talk about that one tomorrow. But what I want you to understand is that who are Israelites? Israelites are people of covenant. They are people of covenant. God appeared unto Abraham and told Abraham, Abraham, God entered into a covenant with Abraham and told Abraham that today I've seen your heart. From today, you are called Abraham. God added his name to Abraham's name and added it to Sarah. The mystery there, I don't want to go into that one. And then entered into a covenant with Abraham. The covenant was this: Abraham was instructed to bring some items, turtles, sheep, goat, and all those things. And then the Bible said that he killed them and divided the ram into two. Please have here, please have here. And actually, in those days, when you are entering into covenant, those are the things they do. Going into strong covenant with blood, these are the things you do. When you do that, now the pathway between the half year and the half year is called the blood path. And the blood is designed in such a way that the two people who are going to enter into the covenant, one is standing here and one is standing here, and we declare the terms of the covenant. When we declare the terms of the covenant, it's expected this one to come, then it's expected me to come. When we get here, this one stands here, this one stands here, stand here. And then I will exchange my weapon with this one, and I will take his weapon. When I take his weapon, he takes my weapon. What it means that my strength is your strength, your strength is my strength. Then you continue this way, then I go this way, then I stand here. Where we pass is called the blood path. It's a blood covenant, the strongest in the realm of covenants. Now when that happens, what it means is that all that is mine is thine. The moment you settle here, all that is mine is thine, because this was where I belong. You can access at any time, and I access your realm also at any time. So when Abraham prepared this covenant, do you know that God came in the smoke and fire and light and walked through the path, the blood path, without allowing Abraham to walk through it too? God came like this and went back without allowing Abraham to walk through. Why that? And then told Abraham, in blessing, I'll bless thee. Then told Abraham, one of the mightiest things I've ever heard in my life is, Abraham, I will be your real reward. I will not reward you with a phone or a car. I will not reward you with money nor gold. Me, I'm your reward. I am your reward, Abraham. I'm your reward. And Abraham never played his part. But God said, I came
and I went. Why? I did my own and did your own for you. You cannot stay faithful, but I will remain faithful. So when you fail, even when you fail, Abraham, I will still be there. You will, you see, you will be, whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever tries to curse you, I will curse. So what God was telling Abraham is that whatever is mine is yours. He said, I will bless you and bless your generation and your descendants. That is why you don't joke with the seed of Abraham. That's why you cannot just get up and destroy Israel. You can't. You can't. But how come that the children of Israel found themselves in captivity? A man is saying, and a Holy Ghost filled believer can find himself under demonic attacks. But you are still under demon. Things doesn't seem working. How come that in the book of Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3, we realize that taskmasters, talking about taskmasters, we are talking about demonic presence that causes affliction and actually puts you in strong bondages that causes your life to come under strong stress. Many of you can be in the room and cry your heart out. You have done everything, nothing is working. Look at how the family is going. You are still there. And pipe and amway all night. Nothing doesn't seem working. Things are seen. What is the cause? And Luna, what had to let you know? That's why I'm here to tell you. There is power somewhere. When we're in scripture, you know those days, there was a song. I say, there is power, there is power, there is power in the blood. There is power. Superpower, there is power in them. There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood. There is power, there is power, there is power in them. These are songs we sing. We're about to go for deliverance sessions. We're going to deal with some cases. So Abraham alone can take a whole nation. One man take a whole nation with his slaves and servants, a man that had an army, go after a nation and conquer the whole nation and come back. He was a man of covenant. When a covenant begins to speak on behalf of a person, that is when you will realize that even when he's not ready, or thinks that, oh, he's not beautiful enough, or her time is not up, the best of men will locate her and marry her. And every fine girl in the church is confused. Like, ah, but this girl, why? But what is about her? You don't know what is about her. She's a covenant child. She's a covenant child. The children of Israel found themselves in bondage, struggling, going through pain, affliction. They never, when you read the Bible, chapter 1, chapter 2, in chapter 3, they had never cried unto God. When they started crying unto God, God didn't mind them. Until when they started groaning. Now when God came, he told Moses, go and tell them that their groanings and their cry has reached my ears. And you know what God said? He didn't say, I am coming to save them. When I read it yesterday, I felt like screaming in the office. He didn't say, I'm coming to save them. He said, I am coming. Grammatically sounds wrong. And when God is doing something outside this world, it is even beyond the languages that operate in this world. So we can't find better expression for it. He's too present than coming. He said, I am come. It's not I am present, though. I am the come. When you talk about the come, tell them I am come to save them. And when things started working for the children of Israel, you put a baby in a basket, and put in a river. The basket never sank. What are you talking about here? We are talking about people who appear before the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the sea began to flee. We are talking about people who the sea can stand as a wall and say, I beg you, men of covenant, pass. I don't want trouble. We are talking about people like that. Men are not equal. I'm telling you, there are people sitting by you. So prayers are on people's head because of certain grandfathers, grandmothers, certain mothers, certain pastors, certain men. Some people are sitting here. You have no idea who they are.
You think we are equal? We are not equal. Who knows what is going to happen about to some of the people we are right now around on campus with? We may meet some of them and we will cry tomorrow. But you, they will meet you and know that God is God. I said they will meet you and know that God is God. This destiny is not one of them that will be wasted. Said, I am coming. Now that the groanings was the same thing that Peter spoke about. Holy Spirit. Oh. Tomorrow we're going to a lot of deep things. That same word that appeared twice in the Bible. Now, when you read this scripture, when Peter was speaking about it, he said that their groaning was heard by the Lord and it came down. That word groaning is the same thing that the Holy Ghost engages. But the word groaning in its original translation is trying to speak about unspeakable, inexpressible expression. Inexpressible what? Expression. So it means that the children of Israel started groaning. They wish they could tell God something. The pain was so much that they wish they could tell God something. And they couldn't find words, vocabularies in this world to speak to him. And whatever they said, they themselves didn't understand what they were saying. But the Bible says that when it comes to the Holy Ghost, he uses and engages not just one groaning. He said he uses what? Groanings. Groanings. That means that that which is more higher even than that word which the children of Israel engage. It was only when the children of Israel started groaning before God responded. Meaning, without the groan, afflictions will never leave. Until the groan, afflictions never left. So Paul said, I know that this shall turn to me. So the Bible says that when we begin to pray, and this prayer he's talking about praying prayers. The Bible says pray with all prayers. How can you pray with prayer? Pray with all prayers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. May you catch something that will change your prayer life tonight. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. Obvious, that is his ministry. He's a helper. And he comes to help our infirmity. For we know not. The reason why we know not, when the children of Israel started groaning, that was when God remembered that these guys, they are children of covenant. The covenant spoke. And beloved, the Bible says that as New Testament people, we have a better covenant. All that evolved in the covenant during Abraham's day, Jesus has paid all, and he has become the perfect representation for us. So the Bible says that many a times we don't even know that we are sanctified. We don't even know that we are forgiven. So when he came in the scene and he was teaching us to pray, he said, why you have to pray? Say, our Father which is in heaven. Recognize that there is a Father, and the adjective that qualifies him, that this Father is in heaven. He's not the one on earth here. Our Father which is in heaven. So come to prayer with this consciousness that I'm coming to a Father, a source, Abba Father, one that loves unconditionally. I'm coming to Abba Father which is in heaven. Then he said, before you ask anything, worship him for who he is. Hallowed be after that, be interested in his kingdom. Why? Because if God's kingdom prospers, his kings prospers. So to go to God and start praying for yourself, one of the wrongest prayers as a believer you must pray is to always think about yourself. When you think about the kingdom, you have thought about yourself. So the Bible said in the book of Job, he said, and after Job had prayed for his friends, God prospered him. God prospered him. He never prayed for himself, he prayed for his friends. And God did what? Prospered him. Thy kingdom come, they said, thy will be done. I don't know how it's, as it is in heaven. They said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. What is the thing? This day our daily bread? I don't know whether we have time to go into these matters. But the member what he has here, they say, the Holy Spirit will carry up that prayer. And when he carries the prayer, two things is that he prays for you. He prays for you. And the prayer he prays is mercy, Lord. Mercy. Because sometimes the way we even stand before him and begin to pray, it looks so arrogant that if the Holy Ghost does not plead mercy on our behalf, we don't even qualify to be in his presence. If you know God, even when an angel appeared to Daniel, he fell down. How much more God? Do you know the one you come before him? Do you know our Father? Do you know the uncreated creator? Do you know who we are talking about? We are talking about the one whose feet, footstool is this earth. The earth you find yourself that you are struggling for a portion to buy as a land that you are not getting. That is his footstool. We are talking, if you are talking about size, he's immeasurable. He told Moses, he said, if no man has seen me and survived, if you want to see me, I will show you my back. And then God was passing and he covered Moses' face and showed God his back. Now God went to Miriam and told Miriam, you people are insulting Moses. Hey, come. You are a prophet. Aaron is a prophet. You people, if I want to speak to you, I speak to you through visions and dreams. But when it comes to Moses, I speak to him face to face. That was the time I realized that God has a face at his back. Because the last time Moses stood in front of me and saw him, it was his back. So we are talking about a person like that. I almost said a man. And look at how you approach in prayer. Look at how you sing. Look at your attitude in church during worship unto him. Look at your manners. Look at the way you handle things. Look at how you do things. Look at how you go about your offering. Look at your insincerity when it comes to your tithings and your offerings. When we said first fruit, you carried 100 Ghana, knowing very well that it was just part of all that you received for the month. Look at how unfaithful you are until there is an intercessor that intercedes on your behalf before him. I'm not sure you'll qualify. For your sake, there are two major intercessors before the Father, before you gain access. The Son is interceding, showing his blood regularly. Then his favorite. The favorite of the Father is the Holy Ghost, if you don't know. His favorite will also stand in front of him and begin to intercede for you first. Number two, he carries your prayer and he prays for your prayer. If the Holy Ghost can pray for your prayer, then you can pray for prayers. And you can pray with prayers. The Bible says, pray with all prayers. Now, when he's doing that, do you know what happens? He doesn't pray and say, Lord, Pastor KK is saying that you have to give him 500 people in the church. He said he needs a new land. I prophesy that the next time I come, you'll be at a bigger place. He says that his church needs a bigger place. No, the Holy Ghost doesn't pray like that. He doesn't pray like that. He takes it, man of God, then he enters into the language which God understands and address the covenant, the New Testament covenant, through groanings. Through groanings. Now look at what the Bible says. He said, which cannot be what? Outed. The next verse, push me to the verse 27. He said that, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the spirit, because he that maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. So he carries it and begins to groan. And the only time the Holy Ghost begins to groan is when you begin to pray in tongues. When you begin to when you begin to pray in tongues, Lord, a new place for charismata. Provide, Lord. Whilst you are praying, your knees may be tired and you will get up. You are unfaithful to the fact that you told him, I'm going to kneel down before you, but yet by mercy he intercedes on your behalf and keeps you at connected with the Lord.
He now carries the thing and makes it clear to the Father, because he's not a man, he understands tongues. You are the only person that understands it, because no man here read it. You tell him, charismata needs a meeting place, but I think they need 200 people more. Send in 200, and Lord, give them the best place. They are praying for this land, but God, I think this one, you see, God knows the way. He knows what is good for you. God gives you things better than you ask for.
The man, go and build a church there. He's the only one that knows what he's doing.
Hey, he's the landlord of this here too.
He's in charge. God is in charge.
You can be here, you are saying you are praying for church growth, and God will tell you, okay, Father, this prayer you are praying, Spirit will tell God, let it take care of people in Dambai. You are fighting. Let it. You may not understand it. Lord, let the church grow. Le Kabbalah, Zagra Dakaba. Then the Lord, the Holy Ghost will send angels, go to Dambai. This prayer that you are praying, the real meaning is that Dambai. You know why? There is one guy there who is coming to school next year. And when he comes, he's going to be a mighty evangelist, and you will win all those you need. You don't know. You don't know. How can you know this and pray about it? This is why any believer that does not pray in tongues, you are not doing well. 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 Lord, I worship. Oh, oh, Lord, I worship. Lord, I.
How many things can you pray about? How many of your needs can you even remember?
Who told you that prayer is about your needs?
Who told you that prayer is about your needs? The Bible says that the righteous shall lack nothing. Didn't you get one? The righteous shall lack nothing. Didn't you know that the Bible said that all that is mine is yours?
You're a covenant child. The covenant child who is under affliction is unrighteous. So what you need to do is to set a time. And one thing is that the more prolonged your prayer, the more results you have. The Bible said in the book of James, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, say it that one. Talk to me. Is it that one? It availeth much. You may be praying for a fiancé. Lord, please, I need a beloved. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. You are praying for a fiancé, but your mother is about to die tomorrow, and that prayer is saving her. It availeth much. Why? The same scripture says that he's able to do exceedingly far above what we can ask. Or even the word imagination is the realm of limitless requests or wishes or whatever it is, but God is able to go far beyond it. So you may be praying for the sick, but you'll be raising the dead. You may be praying for the sick, but you'll be bringing you'll be saving your beloved who you are going to marry maybe in 20 years time that you don't even know. You may be I prayed for my wife way back in Genesis. The prayer I prayed was, God, if anybody tries to rape the girl I'm married, Lord, deliver her. When I met my wife, he told me a date, which was the exact year I was praying those prayers, that one of her teachers almost raped her in his office, and somehow he hit her, him, and ran away. I didn't know her.
man I'll marry. Stop praying, God, give me a wife, a caring man, give me a this day, give me that, give me that. And believe that all good and perfect things come from above. Sometimes the guy is not the problem. You are the problem. You are the problem. When was the last time you prayed and told God, God, please, prepare my heart. Let me be a beauty. When was the last time you did that? But look at the prayers you have prayed on the head of the man. I'm anointed. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. You know, when I was praying for my wife, she was also praying for me. I didn't know. So she told me she was also praying about, I mean, for me. Can you imagine? We will not stop praying in tongues. We will not stop praying. We will not stop praying in tongues. We will groan. It will not make sense. But we are not here to make sense. We are here to make spirit. We will groan. We will groan because we know when we groan, we activate the covenant. We activate the covenant. One of the things in the covenant is that you cannot be killed by a poison. We will groan. We will groan. We will groan. With groanings. With groanings which cannot be expressed. He helps our infirmity. The Holy Ghost helps our infirmities. The sorrows of Israel multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. But when they began to groan, he said, I am come. I am come. I have remembered my covenant. May God remember his covenant about you. May God remember his promise and his prophecies over your life. What have you to heard? What have you to heard? If Daniel was prophesied to that he was going to travel to US, it means that he would have been there with that 21 prayer and fasting. Hear me again. I say it again. The more prolonged your prayer, the more space you give God to do more. So, God, I thank you. Father, my mother told me that when I wake up in the morning, I do my morning prayers. Father, I thank you for a new day. As I'm going to lectures, protect me. Lord, keep me from every evil. I know that you are my God. God, you are my Father. You, my God. You, God, you are my Father. You are my, actually, you are my Father. But, Lord, you are my Father. Those hands that didn't go to you, my Father, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. The moment you said forgive me, you remember the person you have not forgiven. Said, Lord, please, you forgive me. You forgive me. And you pray that prayer in Jesus. And some of you want to make your prayer so sanctimonious. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Then they pray. They on scripture the prayer. Wake up as a lion. What did I say? Wake up as a lion. When a lion wakes up, you know what he does. Wake up as a lion. The moment you wake up, thank you, Lord Jesus. The burden will be increasing. Come on, leke de savranda, ora masufra di kapaya, shadeke pania kapanuata, leke pa, shete pele tegete, savranda pania kapa, rakapani wakata, leke pada kata hata, leke pania kapa. You realize that you are getting restless, and the burden will be increasing. You wake up from your bed and start walking in your room. Leke brandu wakate ni, masufra ki paluate, leke paru wakate ni. Beloved, you realize that you cannot keep the syllabus any longer and you cannot keep pace with it. The only thing you can do is it will change and change. Rekaba, because he given utterance. He given utterance. The Holy Ghost given utterance. Lekaba ata shaka shakaba shadabada shadabada.
Sovereign,
From hell was sent to buffet my flesh because of many revelations. Paul was anointed, filled with revelation, but the messenger from hell was sent. And then he said, I sought the Lord 3 times on this matter. And when he sought the Lord 3 times on the matter, this is what God told Brother Paul. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Why? Because part of the covenant says that whatever is mine is yours. And David said that the Lord is my strength. He's the strength of my life. So when I begin to pray in tongues and groan, I activate the covenant where the strength of God takes care of my weakness. Shadagaba. Shadagaba de Watai. Our infirmities. Didn't you read that the Bible says that overcame even our mortal bodies? Tumors, sicknesses, anything that makes it impossible for us to be effective in prayer,